Good morning, Keyser Falls Assembly of God. These are interesting times we're living in. It's been 102 years since anything like this has happened. And so we're prayerful. We're praying for you. We're praying for our nation and this world. We're praying that there is a resolution to this as quickly as possible. And we're also trusting in the Lord. So we're so glad that you are joining us here online, joining us for the next few weeks for these online sermons. And would you turn me to Jeremiah 29, 4 to 14? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, this is such a radical difference from what we are expecting for these few weeks coming up as we were preparing for the Passion Week, praying for Easter. We ask you, Lord, to help us. We ask you, Lord, to guide us during this time, to not panic, to be good neighbors, to trust you, and to love those around us. Give us the grace to move forward. Give us the grace to respond correctly. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn me again to Jeremiah 29, 4 to 14. And as you were turning there, let me ask you a question. In what world does this sound familiar? Nations in unrest and at war, economic turmoil, political unrest and corruption, massive cultural changes, and rampant disease. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Sounds like our world. But you know, there's nothing new under the sun. This list of unpleasantries reflects the days of the prophet Jeremiah, even much more so than today. Here are the words written in that day from Jeremiah the prophet, which he sent to the survivors of exile in Babylon. Starting in verse 4, he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that you may bear sons and daughters and multiply there. And do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets or diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I'll fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back to a place from which I sent you into exile." God had taken away everything from the Israelite people, land, culture, possessions, because of their sin and rebellion against him. And he allowed the nation of Babylon to conquer them and place them in a land that was not theirs, that was pagan and corrupt, and where their faith and morality were really looked down upon. And there were false prophets at this time saying, "Don't settle down. Don't seek the welfare of this pagan nation. God is going to destroy them anytime now. And he's going to restore your culture and restore your homeland, and everything is going to go back to normal ASAP." God states in Jeremiah 29:9, "For it is a lie that they prophesy to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord." God, through Jeremiah, tells his people, "I am bringing you through this time of trial. And while you're in it, while things are not what you want them to be, instead of bowing to the pressure and fear or working yourself up in anger, why don't you seek and pray and hold up those around you who, as you, are going through this trial as well?" Jeremiah 29, 10 to 11 says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll visit you, and I'll fulfill to you my promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. Notice that right there in the middle of all this hard news, there's everyone's favorite Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11. And where have we seen this verse before? Well, everywhere. It's posted on Facebook. I've seen it on wall hangings. It's given in graduation cards. I went in someone's bathroom one time, and there that verse was printed largely and in bold letters, matted and framed and hanging just right there as you went in. Kind of an odd verse in that place and context, I thought. So in modern times, what do? We take this verse out of its context, and we use it to say, you know, God loves you and now has some really good things for you after I graduate, or when I'm praying for something I really want, or apparently in certain rooms of the house. And yes, God does love you, and he does want good for you. That is true. But what does that mean in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenging times? Because that is the real context of the verse. God's faithfulness when the world feels uncertain, when I am in a strange land filled with unknown trials, in a world of brokenness. Because that's the context of this verse. When the world feels like it's crashing down around you, that is when these words were written. To a people who are in exile, who are in hard times, God is showing his mercy and wants you as someone who trusts in him to look beyond ourselves and yourselves, to look to the community around you and to pray for them, to seek good for them, to be a blessing to them as God takes you and those around you through very hard times. You see, this passage, this verse, is not just about me personally. And it's undoubtedly not about getting something I want immediately. It's not about materialism or quick fixes to small troubles. This is a blessing in the midst of embracing the difficult circumstances that God has allowed you to be in order to benefit others and not just yourself. The letter concludes to the exiles in verse 28. He says, "For he has sent us to Babylon, saying, your exile will be long. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce." You know, the calling of the Christian is to follow Christ no matter the circumstances, good, bad, indifferent. Faith in Jesus is a decision to live for Jesus and like Jesus unto others, embracing God's call to them. It's often about rediscovering who we are in Christ Jesus as he helps us to adapt to our present place of ministry. It's about being vessels that God will use to have compassion and to redeem hearts and lives, to be a blessing in the midst of trouble as we trust him. But we have this challenge. We need to get past ourselves. You and I, we naturally want certain things. It's just how we are. We naturally want money and power and respect. But supernaturally, God wants redemption and love and humility from us. Naturally, we want stability. Oh, how we want stability these days. Supernaturally, God wants faith and trust. Naturally, we want others and our situations to change. How many of you today want your situation to change? I think we all do. But supernaturally, God wants to use the present world to challenge and change us for the better. Naturally, we want favor and blessing. Supernaturally, God wants obedience springing out of faith. Naturally, we want a culture that fits me. Supernaturally, God wants a chosen people called that are following him. And you know what's great about what God wants supernaturally is that he's going to give us the grace. He's going to give us the faith as a gift, as a calling. He's going to give us his spirit to help change us from what we are naturally to what he desires us to be supernaturally. It begins with him and it works through trust and faith. Jeremiah, though, told the Israelites in exile, God will get you through all this. But while he is getting you through, He has placed you where you are at, in the circumstances you are in, to bring much good to people who are in the same boat you're in, and even to others who might be causing the trouble to worsen. I'm reminded of Micah 6:8. It says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And the key to all of this is trusting God, despite the circumstances, instead of reacting, trusting, and to follow Him. There are too many books about how bad the world is and how hopeless it is. There are plenty of tallies on TV right now of infection rates and death totals. I'm not saying we ought to stick our hands in the sand and whistle past the graveyard. And I know I'm mixing metaphors right now. But what I am saying is that the family of God, as a body of believers, those things are informational. They do not determine my fate or your fate. Our fate is in the hands of God's providence. And there are no better hands to be in. These statistics, they do not have to tell us how to feel or that all I can do is hold on. No. Family, God is in control even when things feel out of control. God was in the exile with His people, and God is with us in the midst of this virus. God was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and He's here with us right now. The question is, do we recognize that or not? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, a plan to bring us through thick and thin, a plan to use us to bring hope to hopeless people, a plan to be there for one another and even for folks who are in a panic, a plan of redemption, and a plan to lead us out the other side." I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying we have causes to happen. I'm not saying this is what any of us has hoped or prayed for. What I am saying is that right now, this is where we are, and that God has allowed this trial to commence and has a plan for us in the midst of this. And I'm praying it passes quickly. But the real question is, are we going to trust Him? Are we going to care for each other and love those who are scared? Are we going to help meet our neighbor's needs and seek the welfare of our town and street, of our city and nation, of our family and church family? Are we going to be about doing good right now? Or are we going to go out and panic and buy 700 rolls of toilet paper? Really, are we going to be different? Or are we going to be just like that person you see at the store, filling their shopping cart with things they're not going to need and taking them really away from people who might need them right now? Are we going to trust? Are we going to panic? What this all comes down to is twofold. Will we trust in God and rely on God to get us through these difficult times, whether we are part to blame, like many during the Babylonian exile, or if we hold no fault, but we live simply in a place or a time affected by the troubles of the world, like the coronavirus outbreak? Will we lean on the One who is able to calm us and give us peace in the storm and carry us through? And number two, will we take the time we are in to bring good despite all the bad around us? Panic, anger, fear, blame, hoarding, these are not virtues that show anyone you are trusting in Jesus. No, we are here to be ambassadors of peace in the middle of the storm, knowing God does have a plan, and a good plan at that. Not to make you materialistically rich, or even to stop all your troubles with a snap of a finger. He has a plan to make you a blessing to others, a plan to give you peace and walk with you, to give you a future and a hope as He walks with you through the storm and one day to eternal life. I want to end this devotional today with a psalm that's been on my heart the past few days and I think is relevant to us right now. Psalm 46, 1-11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, and the nations rage and kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. It is good to know that we have a fortress to run to, that we have a God who is bigger than what we are facing. He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. He's going to get you through. He's going to get me through. But during this time of going through, let us trust in him. Let us not give in to fear or panic. And let us help those, be there for those, seek the welfare of those around us today and tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord, help us to take these words to heart. Help us, Lord, today. We need you. And Lord, as you build that trust within us, help us to be a blessing to our neighbors. Help us to calm fears. Help us to love and show compassion. And Lord, as you have taught us to pray, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go in peace this week.